again, welcome to Drivers Morning Reads Inside Look into the Golf Industry. I'm David Klein, joined by John Last, President of Sports and Leisure Research Group. And today we have a great episode for you. We're going to dig into the world of golf-related real estate. Bill Houghton will join us to talk about some of the recent developments with developing properties that use golf as a linchpin for attracting residents and purchasers into this world. With that in mind, let's get started right away. John?
Thanks, David. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for this episode two of Drivers. As David mentioned, Bill Houghton is somebody that I've had the pleasure of working with and knowing for longer than either of us probably want to admit. We both kind of went to this small little business school in Philadelphia that we'll kind of not talk about. But we go back actually to back when I was at Golf Digest, and you were at one of several different communities that you've been involved with. Because I always like to introduce Bill as the guy who has basically sold most of the really well-known golf developments and real estate communities. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your career arc and what you're focusing on right now? I know you're currently serving as the board chair of the American Association of Retirement Communities, but that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Thank you, John. Thank you, David. I've been really fortunate to have been at some really great properties that use golf to drive real estate sales. I've been at Reynolds Lake Oconee. I've been at the Landings in Savannah. I've been at Kiawah Island, where I ran marketing at all three of those places, and they're all, six or more golf courses and 4,000 or more rooftops, all aimed at trying to get more members and residents there and using golf as that hook. So, I've been fortunate to have been at some great places and, that have really sold, over the last decade or so, a couple $1 billion in discretionary real estate. And that's really why golf and the amenity side is so important. It's a discretionary purpose. People are not moving to those places because their job moved them there or because they're looking to upgrade a school district. It's really finding the amenities and the motivations for getting people to buy in.
And it's been a really interesting, couple of decades, really, if you think about it. I know back 25 years ago, obviously the big push was that, the golf course was the first thing to go in the ground, and obviously the community built up around it. Then we got into a period of time where a number of facilities or developments were more about let's make golf an option, but not a mandated requirement. What have you seen in the last 15 years or so in terms of some of the larger macro trends that have been present in the communities that you've worked with?
Well, from a golf standpoint, obviously the Tiger boom of 20 or so years ago got a lot of golf courses getting built, and a lot of those ended up being or were created for golf communities to help sell real estate. And the kind of methodology then seemed to be build a really hard course because that's what some of the major golf magazines rated highly. And if you got a great rating, if you came out of the box with a Golf Digest best new private or what have you, that drove real estate. And instead of really focusing on the usability of it, a lot of people were looking at it from a prestige and from, buying for investment. That was when, the baby boomers were just starting to retire and everybody wanted to get ahead of that mix. So people were buying for investment, either to buy and flip a property or as a, hey, I'm going to retire in 10 years. I want to get ahead of the rush. And that drove a ton of real estate sales and a ton of golf communities. And, we had the downturn, 10 or 12 years ago, where some of the people who didn't buy for the right reason suddenly realized, hey, I need to get out of this. And it kind of turned the supply demand thing upside down. And really over the past decade or so, we've seen a lot of people buying into these golf communities for more of the right reasons, to use it as a vacation. And I think COVID you've talked through on other venues, COVID has certainly exacerbated that and put that all on steroids. People are looking for that open space and looking for that getaway for a retirement property or even a pre-retirement property where they can work from home.
Which is exactly, you know, kind of an interesting phenomenon. And as I know, we've talked about in the back to normal barometer that SLRG has been doing. We do, you know, one of our clients and subscribers to that is the National Association of Realtors, and their data has very, very vividly portrayed a real spike in real estate sales. This is certainly a sector that has benefited from COVID as we've seen these migration patterns move from more densely populated areas into more remote. Again, just kind of like what we've always seen, areas where people can feel in control. What vantage point, you know, does that present for, you know, the current swath of golf real estate communities that are out there right now? How have they done different things of late to kind of seize on this opportunity, or is this more just exploiting a methodology of selling and marketing that has been successful in the past?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's frankly caught a lot of folks by surprise. You know, the real estate market for golf course communities had been okay over the past couple of years. But right now, with this surge that came through, you know, you're seeing, you know, the demand, to your point, from the NAR information and, you know, looking at other resources like privatecommunities.com and Ideal Living, where they're seeing, you know, a lot more interest in this than was expected. We actually have golf communities, you know, that are having challenges with inventory, where, you know, as a developer, you have to budget for putting, you know, roads and infrastructure in, and you budget based upon what your expected demand is. And some of these places are having challenges meeting that demand. So, you know, it's been a great thing for the golf industry in one sense, in that, you know, golf overall is up dramatically. Destination real estate is up pretty dramatically, but there have been challenges actually in people having not seen this coming, as none of us did, but in actually meeting the demand of what's happened. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out over the next few years.
Any would you be venturing a supposition on what those next few years are going to look like? What do you think is going to be the ultimate end game in this?
You know, I'd love to, and you know, personally, you know, even hearkening back to, you know, the Golf 2020, you know, PGA and partnership initiative of years ago that was trying to add players to the game. I think people are seeing that golf is something that is not just an old wealthy guy's sport. You see marketing and such to millennials. You see a ton of juniors getting into the game. Some golf data tech information, you know, said, you know, obviously saw that golf equipment sales over the summer were the, you know, the best 3-month period ever. And a lot of that was junior clubs, you know, people getting into the game, people going to some of those destination communities, you know, leaving the more urban areas and getting into the game. And I hope, you know, I love golf. I love the 4-hour vacation that it affords me when I'm out there. I hope that people get into the game and realize, you know, this is fun. This is something that I can do with my families. And we're all in this digital age struggling with ways to spend quality person-to-person time. And, you know, golf, as your listeners all know and you know, is a great outdoor activity. It's a great vacation. So I hope that that continues the organic growth of the game. And I hope that bodes well, you know, if that does happen, that will obviously bode well for golf communities and golf at large.
So we've got just a minute or so left. What kind of give a sense of what you would recommend be the first things that a developer might want to look at from a marketing strategy in the current environment?
You know, and this is something that really hasn't changed a ton. You really have to know who your buyer is going to be, and you have to really understand those motivations. We're in a Me Too society. You know, the golf community boom, the golf course construction boom was all based upon, hey, there's an opportunity to make money. but perhaps it wasn't all as strategic as it could have been. And so some projects that maybe shouldn't have gotten through, you know, or get funded, got funded. So it's really, it goes back to understanding who your buyers are and what their motivations are. And, you know, you and I did a study. I engaged Sports and Leisure Research Group to do a study for one of my big clients a couple of years ago, really to get really granular to understand what that motivation is. And it seems simple, but oftentimes it's not. So I think the first thing you have to understand if you're doing a golf community or frankly doing retirement community or anything is understanding the motivations of your buyers and how what you're trying to produce matches those.
Yeah, you really can overlook sometimes the emotional side that is so critical in people's decision-making process to figure out what's right for them in terms of golf communities.
Hey, Bill, out here in Los Angeles, whether it's Hollywood or downtown, we see a lot of developments, mixed-use developments over the past few years, where you had kind of the ground floor being the office space and then upstairs being the residential space, kind of a multi-use residence. Is that a model that some developers might be betting on in the future? Instead of having retirement communities or retirement developments, maybe they have developments for people who are looking to work from home, maybe a semi-retirement model, maybe a 40 plus model in terms of age. Is that something that people might be betting on in this kind of new golfer surge environment?
Yeah, very much so. The American Association of Retirement Communities is actually somewhat misnamed. It's really destinations. It's not the traditional retirement community because none of us wants to go to a retirement community. What the properties that I have worked with and the properties that I'm working with now all are based upon those amenities. And to your point, on even the more urban settings, I'm working with two entities that are luxury hotels that have branded residential. So you get all of the services and all the benefits of a luxury hotel, but are able to use it as a residence. And you're seeing people who are pre-retiring or using it as a primary residence or a secondary residence, but are basing it on that whole amenity package and that whole lifestyle option that is not the R word. It's not retirement. It's a choice. It's a better life.
Bill, it's always great to catch up with you. I really appreciate your insights today, and hopefully we'll have a chance to have you back on the show a little bit later down the line. But thank you for being on Drivers.
John, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.